Hi, everybody. Welcome to our spiritual weather report call for July, the Core Light spiritual weather report call, and July 2020. And I'm sitting here in our living room in South Africa with my beloved Leslie, who's just smiling. She's beaming. And we get so excited about these calls once a month. They feel somehow very important to us. And we love being with you. We love sharing the light, and Leslie's going to be giving us a Shakti transmission tonight. And it's really kind of interesting. We just had the winter solstice here, of course, because we're in the southern hemisphere, and I'm not usually here at this time of year, usually in the northern hemisphere. So it's kind of odd to have the winter solstice in June, and it's pitch dark outside. It's getting cold at night. We're in a very climate, so the cold is relative, but it dips down into the high 40s here. So we're all bundled up, and it's dark outside, and so we're snuggled inside. And I know for you guys, you're just in the peak of summer, and So we send you all of our love from down under in the dark in the winter, sending you some cool breezes. May you stay cool. So this is such a powerful time of change. I'm sure you're all feeling it. It is a time of wildly swinging polarities, highs and lows. Most people I know are feeling this. It's both personal and collective, and we're going to talk about that today. So I think, as always, we'll start with our guided meditation before we get too much into the talking. For those of you who are new, if you're new to this, the way this works is Leslie gives a Shakti transmission, which is healing energy. And so what we invite you to do is just be meditative throughout the call and receive. Go yin, which is the feminine state, the receptive state. And just allow the healing energy to come in. It's uplifting and it's healing and it's absolutely delightful. So whether you're with us live today or listening to the recording later, it doesn't matter, because this is a field that we're all creating. We're all connected in it, and time and space do not really exist except in the third dimension. So in this space, we can all tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space. And this is where we're all connected in love and in unity consciousness. So now I invite you to just relax and let go. We'll do our guided meditation to start with, and then we'll move into a discussion. I'll speak for a bit. Leslie's going to remain in silence and just transmit energy throughout the call. And then we'll open to questions. We have many people wrote questions in, so we will be reading the questions and sharing at the end, and that'll take us through. So let's get started. All right, so Leslie and I are closing our eyes, and we invite you to do the same. Take a few long, deep breaths and relax. Just let go, breathing in the light, breathing in the life force that surrounds you, breathing it all the way down deep into your diaphragm, stretching your lungs gently, breathing out any tension or stress that you might be holding on to. Breathing in present moment, breathing out any worries about past or future. Just letting go with each exhale, filling up with light, and letting go of shadow. To help you relax, visualize a warm liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey, relaxing every muscle it touches, Feel your scalp relaxing. Feel it pouring over your forehead and relaxing your eyebrows, your eyes, allowing your eyeballs to fall back into their sockets because you're relaxing them so deeply, just letting go all the dozens or hundreds of tiny little muscles around the eyes, relaxing completely. Feeling the liquid pouring over your nose, your cheeks, your ears, the back of your head, your mouth, your jaw. Deeply, deeply relaxing all of the facial muscles. Especially focusing on relaxing the back of the tongue, which is a place that when you relax it, relaxes the whole region, the back of the head, the neck, the shoulders, the jaw. So just allow that deep letting go at the back of the tongue, feeling all of those areas letting go of any tension. And feeling this warm liquid like honey pouring over your chest, your upper back, your arms, all the way down your arms to your hands and fingers. Letting go completely of any tension. Relaxing your whole torso, the abdomen, the lower back. Feel the liquid pouring over your hips and your buttocks. Relaxing all of those muscles, especially focus on the psoas muscles, which run down the front of the hips on either side. And again, when you can relax those psoas muscles, you relax the whole region of that whole pelvic region. So just take a few moments to focus on really letting go of those psoas muscles. They do tend to hold a lot of tension. And relaxing the legs, the upper legs, lower legs, feet and toes, completely letting go any tension you're holding on to, going completely yin, completely receptive, allowing in the Shakti, this beautiful transmission of energy from the southern tip of the Nilotic meridian that runs down the continent of Africa. Feel this beautiful blessing of African energy pouring your way. It's very grounding and healing. They call it the river of gold, Lalunga Manga Kwatsi, in the local language. It's a river of gold that runs along the spine of Africa from the pyramids at Giza all the way down to where Leslie and I are at the sacred mountain next to our home. It's also the region where the white lions are. So we send you energy from the white lions of Timbavati. Feel that beautiful energy of the white lions coming your way. Very powerful, heart-centered energy. So as you continue your breathing and deep relaxation, I'll be quiet for a few moments. Scan your body again from head to toes and just relax any muscles that you might be holding tension in. Breathing a light into those areas and breathing out the tension. continuing your breathing and relaxing deeply with each breath, I invite you now to put your attention in the heart, right in the center of your chest. Feel it like a miniature sun, right in the center of your chest cavity inside your body, radiating beautiful golden white light. Or maybe you see it as pink or a different color. But feel and see that radiant sun glowing inside your chest, beaming this beautiful loving energy. Maybe it's brilliant white light. Maybe you feel the energy of the white lions inside your chest, the heart, the root of the word heart in Latin is cor, which is used in the word courage, courage. All the Romance languages have cœur, cor in the word for heart. Courage being associated with lions. And the white lions here in this region, only place that they incarnate in the wild on earth is here in Timbavati, close to where we live. And they are bringing in, they are heralding this new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness that we're entering into. So feel that energy in your heart. It is heart-centered energy that they bring. So you can tap into that now. Let it radiate and fill up your chest cavity. Let it continue to grow and radiate and fill up your entire body with this beautiful white light or whatever color you see, filling you up. The vibration of this energy is love, the loving energy of the heart. And when you really tap into it, you usually begin to smile. So I invite you to cheat if you want and turn the corners of your mouth up if you really want to feel that love and that joy that goes with it. You can smile and it helps you to bring that energy in. So we invite you to do that. We all need this energy right now, given what's happening on the planet, the challenges we face. So let's all take this opportunity to feel the love, feel the joy, if you're able. As much as you can, feel it filling you up, radiating that light out, permeating your skin, and going into your aura, filling up your entire body, your aura and your body, with this love light associated with the white lions, Timbavati. And now I invite you to take that energy from your heart and drop it down to the root chakra, which is at the perineum, the base of the spine, and drop it all the way down into the earth. This is your grounding cord. Feel it connecting with the center of the earth, the core of the earth. Feel how anchoring that is. Feel how your whole body becomes anchored to the earth. And the transmission that comes from Africa helps us. We notice that when one meditates here, there's something about the energy that goes down into the earth, like a vortex heading down into the earth, growing bigger and grounding the body. Whereas in the northern hemisphere, very often the energy goes up above the body in a vortex. So we invite you to feel this African energy, specifically from South Africa. Feel it grounding you, feel it helping you anchor to the earth, and just feel gravity gently pulling you towards the earth. And allow yourself to let go even more, let go even more deeply into the arms of the Mother Earth. See and feel her holding you like a little baby, cradling you in her arms. You feel safe and held and nurtured, completely surrendered into her loving embrace. Safe as you've ever felt right now. Just be with that for a few moments. Feel the love and the safety and the nurturing and the deep, deep relaxation that comes from that grounding into the earth. And now I invite you to take that energy from the earth and bring it up into your body, up through the soles of your feet, up to the root chakra, all the way up the central meridian of the body, the Sushumna, the core, which runs right in front of the spine like a luminous tube of light, bringing the energy all the way up, back up to the heart, and past the heart, all the way up to the crown chakra at the top of the head. Opening your crown chakra up wide. And if this is new to you, if you're new to the chakras and new to this kind of guided meditation, the crown chakra sits on your head like the crown a king or a queen would wear. And it opens up and out like a funnel going up and out into the universe, into the cosmos. And it's okay if you're not feeling these things. You can just set the intention you'd like to feel them, and you will one day. For right now, you can just visualize and relax. The more you relax and let go, the easier it is to feel the subtle body. So we open the crown. We open the crown wide. Feel it unfurling. It's also known as the thousand-petaled lotus. That's on the top of the head. So feel the petals of your lotus opening up one by one. Opening up the crown, and let's send the energy that we're holding in the body, send it up and out the crown, up the Sushumna, up the core that extends beyond your head, up into the air. Send it all the way out into the cosmos, into the formless realms of the universe. Is the Father Sky energy, a formless void. Feel yourself connecting to that beautiful celestial energy, the energy of your own divinity. And now, bring your attention, keep this alignment, keep the alignment with the cosmos, feel your core, your Sushumna stretched all the way out into the celestial realms, and simultaneously feel the core running through your body, and feel it all the way down into the center of the earth. So you're holding all of it at once, earth, body, the celestial realms. Feel how your body is the center point between heaven and earth. Specifically, the heart is the center of the body, so the heart is the center point between heaven and earth. So feel that. And as that heart center is the place where the wellspring of love originates, and bubbles up from within, feel how that love inside you is at the very center of the universe. The love is what connects heaven and earth. It's what infuses the body. It's what infuses this physical reality that we call life on earth. So now feel the love in the chest as it penetrates every cell of your body, filling you up with this loving energy, the love that you are, the love that the earth is, the love that spirit is. And let it all merge as one in your heart, the three aspects: physical reality of earth, invisible realms of spirit, and your physical body. Feel them all as love, right in the center of your chest, in the heart. And I'd like to say a prayer while we hold this space of love and connection. We call on the Great Spirit, the Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We invite in all of the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. Angels, the archangels, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, lineage masters, all the saints, all the beings who we know support us in the highest way. We invite you into this call and we ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of golden white light, lifting us up into the highest realms. Guide our conversation into the highest wisdom, the highest love, the highest truth. Fill us up with light so much that we can carry it out in the world, living our soul's highest purpose and sharing it with others in this time of great challenge and change, this time of change. And I'd like to say another prayer right now while we're in this space for the elephants. I'm not sure if any of you are tracking what's happening with the elephants of Botswana. We'll talk about it a little bit in our call today. But they're going through a very difficult time. There's a mass die-off happening, and it's a mystery. Nobody's quite sure what it is. So we surround all these elephants of Botswana and all the elephants of the earth, the elephant collective. We surround you with healing, love, light, spiritual energy. May you be uplifted. May you be held in love. And may you find ease through this challenging phase. We send so many blessings, and we ask that the invisible the beings of the invisible realms support them in the highest way right now. And I invite you all now, silently, to put into our circle any other prayer that you wish, whether it's for an individual, for yourself, for a cause, for nature, for Earth herself, for those who suffer, for the sick. Anything that you please, put it into this circle, and we all hold this in our prayers right now for the highest Dharma to unfold, the upliftment of all sentient life on Earth. And I'll be silent for a few moments while we all hold this space. I know there are many, many things happening on Earth that need our prayers right now for healing. So we as a collective have a lot of power, and it's good that we do this together. Even though we can't hear each other's prayers, we do at another level of our being. There's at a certain level of our being, we see and know everything. So at that level, all aware of what we're putting in our circle here. So we give great thanks, knowing that this healing is happening, that the beautiful light of the divine is flowing in and supporting all of these people and animals and nature and all of the causes and all of the beautiful souls who are listening to this call or participating in this call now or participating later. May we all be infused and surrounded with this healing light. And so it is. Thank you. We offer our deepest gratitude for this time that we share together in love. Alala ho. And alala ho, I love, is a Tibetan word for amen, which means, isn't it wonderful? So slowly bring your awareness back into your body. You can wiggle your fingers and toes if you went far out. And then if you would like to, you can slowly open your eyes. I know many of us need to multitask during these calls. So if that's what you're going to do, then go for it. And otherwise, if you'd like to just remain very receptive and meditative throughout the call, the Shakti transmission will continue. So we invite you to be as relaxed as you possibly can and receive. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for participating in that prayer. We, Leslie and I and the people here who are in our spiritual community here in South Africa, we've all been praying and meditating for the elephants quite a bit lately, and I would like to bring that up with you today and just share a little bit of information with you. Our dear friend Anna Breitenbach, the animal communicator, who many of you know, she was a guest speaker a little while ago, and many of you know her from the internet or classes you've taken with her, but or through Core Light possibly. But she and I have been in communication about what's going on with the elephants, and she had a communication with them that I'll read to you. She shared it with me today, so I'll share that with you, and that way we felt like maybe the Core Light community, all of us who are participating in this live or later, can hold space over the coming times for these elephants. And again, I don't want to do it right this minute, but I will share more with you shortly. I guess really what I wanted to say about this time is that the themes that we talked about last month continuing, but there's an acceleration happening. I'm sure most of you are feeling this, but it's extreme highs and extreme lows. It's a very powerful time. It's a great time. It's a time of deep fluctuation. So some of the examples that I'm sure we all know many examples, but I can just give you a couple. One is that a friend of mine was telling me that there was this poll done in America amongst African Americans, and the poll showed that African Americans are more optimistic now than they've ever been in history. So it's as though it's a hopeful time in many ways for many people, and it's an opportunity for great change. It's an extraordinary time for all of us for change. But I feel also there was this, if you follow some of the news stories about, if you remember Standing Rock, where the Sioux tribe and the indigenous organizers staged a protest about a pipeline, an oil pipeline being put through their land. The news was that a federal judge recently ordered the pipeline shut down and called for it to be emptied of all its oil. And there's going to be an environmental review. So I found that as an uplifting story, showing that there is reason for optimism. There's reason for hope, that there are gains happening. And we've already talked about some of the benefits that nature has been exhibiting, you know, from the lockdown, where the skies are clearing, the waterways are clearing, and it's just, you know, that sort of thing is something we all need to take stock of, as well as the lows. And the elephants are one of the low points. I think rather than my trying to explain it, I think I'll just share, I'd like to read what Anna Breitenbach wrote to me in this email today. The elephants in Botswana's Okavango Delta are suffering from a tragic physical illness that is spreading throughout their population, causing drawn-out and painful death. Over 500 carcasses have been seen as of July 2020, and that country's government has been slow and secretive on the matter of sample gathering and testing. The world awaits the data that they have. The possible causes of shooting, poaching, and anthrax, or poisoning, have been ruled out by the authorities. What will be done with the over 1,000 tusks, which is very valuable ivory, remains to be seen. My series of forensic telepathic communications over the past couple months reveals that some pathogen is being ingested by the elephants off the ground. This affects their stomach lining and quickly leads to digestive trouble and malnutrition. It gets into the bloodstream and impacts the brain significantly, causing symptoms of encephalitis, including swelling, pain, and neurological dysfunction. Their physical hearts are also affected. The elephants feel that there is no cure for this malady. They are living in ongoing pain, trauma, and grief at the daily experience of physical and emotional hardships and loss within their tribe. What we caring humans can best do is hold compassion and witnessing and pray for grace to grant them strength and natural immunity to come through this challenge individually and collectively. Much love, Anna. So let's just right now just all hold that in our prayers, and I'll just read that last sentence again. I wish I had said it in our prayer time, but I say it right now. We hold them in compassion and witnessing, and we pray for grace to grant them strength and natural immunity to come through this challenge individually and collectively. And I share this with you because the main reason I share it with you is because it's not just something ordinary. When I've been talking with Anna about it lately, and what she said is in her many decades of doing this work of talking with animals, especially collectives of animals, of animal species, she's never encountered something as painful at a collective level as this. The elephant collective is truly suffering from this. And so she said it was akin to what she felt when she was connecting, communicating with the dolphin and whale collective when they were being harvested off the coast of Japan. So it's a serious challenge for the elephant collective. And as you know, from what Leslie was telling us many years ago, if you heard all that, the elephants, like the white lions and like other creatures, the elephants really hold a special energy for the earth. The grid of consciousness that they hold around the earth is like that of a great guru who holds an energy of unity consciousness. So when they suffer, we all suffer at a more significant level than maybe some other animals. Not to create a hierarchy of animals. That's not what this is about. It's just that all of us, humans and animals, we all hold an energy. We're all part of a grid that surrounds the earth, and we are all holding it to the degree that we're able. We all put as much light into the grid as we're able, and the elephants specifically hold a large part of that. So that's why I bring this up with you, just to bring it to your awareness. If you weren't aware that it was happening, I really wanted you all to know about it. And I really appreciate your allowing me this time to share it with you and to hold that in prayer. And I just wanted to, before we move on to other things, I just wanted to say, to me, it's very interesting that what we are learning about the elephants here feels a lot like what humans are going through right now with the virus globally. It's mysterious. Nobody's quite sure exactly what's going on. It's causing devastation at many levels, and it's making most people feel helpless and confused, and there's a lot of suffering going on. So it's just very interesting to me, these parallels. So I bring all of our attention to that. I put it in our circle for prayer. Mm-hmm. And if you've been around Core Light for any period of time, you might remember Leslie talking about what she called the power of one. And the power of one is it's a very magnified form of power. For example, when one of us holds a prayer, it has a power. But when many of us hold a prayer, it's multiplied exponentially. It's not a linear power increase. It's an exponential power increase. So by all of us holding a power of one around this, or specifically around the elephants, and we do this with different causes from time to time, but for right now, let's just do the elephants. And we'll hold an amplified energy as a collective spiritual community. So again, thank you. So let's see, some of the other things that I wanted to just talk about today around highs and lows. Obviously, they're happening in the outer world. We see the examples of that, but they're happening inside us as well. And you're probably aware of it in your own life in whatever way. If you're not, consider yourself blessed that you're having some kind of stable life right now. But I can't tell you how many people I know who are having all kinds of huge, whether it's a meltdown or a spiritual breakthrough or medical emergency or whatever it is, but it's a time of extremes, highs and lows, and I wonder if you can feel it. So maybe tune into that and see what you're tapping into there, because it is an opportunity. It's an extraordinary opportunity for all of us to witness what's happening inside us and what's happening in the world at a whole new level. So it's an opportunity for us to strengthen our witness, to strengthen our neutral observer in a way that is unprecedented. So this is the gift and the opportunity that we're being offered here in this time. So I invite you to that. And I know we talk about that almost every month. We talk about the power of the witness and how important that is right now. If you're new to Core Light and you don't know what the witness is, I'm not going to explain it right now because I do talk about it so often, but in our book, The Marriage of Spirit, there's a chapter on it. And so I invite you to go read that. I think it might even be free, one of the free downloads on our website. If not, you can get the book. The next topic that I wanted to just put out into our circle today is about the fear and the chaos that is being amplified in our world right now, and specifically finding an antidote to the fear and the chaos that's being put out and amplified in our world right now. I'm sure most of us can feel that. It's ramping up. The fear and the chaos has been accelerating for months now. And as you know, we ask for questions and sharing to be submitted each month. I got a few strong sharings and questions about this particular theme. So I'm not going to read those questions today, but I'm wrapping them into this talk. And it's really about just how extreme it is in some circles. If you are a person who has a very strong spiritual commitment and you have a strong witness and you've been meditating deeply, you're probably on an even keel with this and you're handling it well. And I know quite a few other people are freaking out a bit. And you know, those of us who are standing strong in the core it's our time to be there for those people and to hold space and to hold an anchor of love and of witnessing, which helps to ground the energy and helps us to move beyond the fear, to recognize that the fear is just a frequency. The fear is just passing through us. Fear is not real. Fear is something that is a very low vibration that is the edge of the ego. It's the wall. It's literally the wall that the ego is made of. And we do talk about this a lot, so I'm not going to belabor that point right now, but to remind us all that that if we're experiencing fear or we're witnessing other people experiencing fear or we're feeling the fear of the collective, just remember that it's all a phase. You know, this too shall pass. We are moving through the fear. The temptation is to be wrapped up in it and to let the mind and the ego turn it into something beyond what it actually is and begin to freak out about it. That, oh my God, you know, all is lost. We're all going to die a horrible, painful death. The earth's going to be destroyed or, you know, whatever. The mind runs with this stuff. And that is not what's happening. Yes, there's a death. Yes, there's an ending. Yes, we're watching the crumbling of systems. But it's also a birth. It's not some kind of final curtain. And there's nothing wrong with what's going on. There's a perfection to this. There's a perfection to what's happening. And I know that that might be hard for some people to hear, but as challenging as these times are, there is a perfection to it. If we have a fear of the future and we have a fear of what this means, that everything's coming crumbling down, then we have a spiritual process. You know, we need to take a look at it. We really need to pull out all the spiritual tools in our spiritual toolkit and process it and work with it. And I know most of us on this call and probably everybody on this call is aware of that. And I know it's easier said than done. But perhaps by talking about it today, it might help strengthen our witness and strengthen our ability to get through it. So the fear, the chaos, the uncertainty, and all that goes with that are so intense that it's important to remember not to get sucked down into the shadow all of the time. And I think that's what's happening to many people that I know. It may be because a person is spending too much time watching the news, for example, or maybe too much time helping other people in crisis, or maybe for whatever reason, spending too much time focusing on our personal shadow, on the negative things happening in our lives. And the truth is, it is important to acknowledge these things, you know, to name the shadow. In fact, it's critical. And as you know, as you all know, if you've been around Core Light for any period of time, that's what Leslie taught for so long, is how to process the shadow energies, how to move them through, how to name them and work with them and let them go. And wow, what a gift that is, right? If you have those tools, you know how powerful that is in helping us get through these times. And we are so blessed to have those tools. So right now, it's important to remember not only that that's true, but also to focus on the light. Because if we're focusing on the pain and the shadow all the time, it's not healthy and it's going to suck us down. So I want to just be very clear here that I'm not talking about spiritual bypassing. I'm not talking about denying or avoiding or suppressing the shadow, but I am talking about letting it move through and moving into joy, if possible, moving into the light, moving into the higher emotions. I had a conversation this week with somebody, and I just want to share a little bit of it with you. It was really interesting. She said to me, oh, you've got to tell people that. You've got to say that on the call. And I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to share that. But it was an insight that I had that was actually made me laugh. It was kind of funny. And how many of you know the word Pollyanna? Pollyanna, if you look it up in the dictionary, I should have looked it up before the call so I could read it to you, but it's essentially somebody who's in denial. It's a really negative connotation. If you call somebody a Pollyanna, it's a real negative connotation where you're saying this person is has got their head in the sand, and boy, are they foolish because they're denying the truth of what's happening, and they're tending to see only the positive side. But the truth of this is, Pollyanna was a book or a series of books, I believe, back in maybe in the 50s or 60s. I know that there were movies made I saw as a kid with Haley Mills back in the 60s and 70s called Pollyanna. It was one movie. And so if you've never watched the movie or read the book, you might try it, because I can tell you, this is my personal opinion, and take it or leave it, but I think Pollyanna got a really bad rap. I think whoever made that definition of the word was really cynical and really out to lunch. Because the truth is, Pollyanna was bringing forward profound spiritual truth. And what she was doing in the story is all these adults, Pollyanna's a child, and all these adults in the story are in deeply negative states. They're all complaining. They're all seeing the negative side. They can't get out of their own negativity. And what she does as an innocent child, she says, well, what are you? Why don't you focus on what you can be happy about? And she called it the glad game. Let's play the glad game. And it sounds so corny. You know, it just sounds so silly. But the truth is, it's a profound spiritual truth that if you're stuck, you know, that's one way out. And again, I'm not talking about denying, suppressing, and avoiding and spiritual bypassing. Yes, we need to do that. And at a certain point, focus on the joy. Focus on what you're happy about. Focus on the gifts in your life, the blessings. Find the gratitude. Find that place of light that you can focus on. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I share that with you. It might seem a little silly, and I actually feel a little foolish bringing it up, but I'm risking here. I'm being vulnerable in front of you to say, you know, let's take my suggestion is the world take another look at Pollyanna and give it a different definition, especially those of us who know how to process shadow. You know, we are certainly not going to be doing spiritual bypassing, but let's take a clue from Pollyanna and let's play the glad game more often. That's how I feel anyway. So it's important right now for all of us to stay in as high a consciousness as we possibly can. And if we're wallowing in shadow all the time and focused on the fear and the negativity and, oh, my God, and wringing our hands, it's not going to help. We're not going to be bringing in the new paradigm by living in those lower vibrations. We need to raise the vibration. And Yeah. I mean, we allow the grief, we allow the pain, we allow the fear, and all of those bottled up emotions to come out. But then we balance it out with joy and playtime and singing and dancing and finding a way to enjoy this beautiful earth that we have. So it's both, you know, it's both things. And I share it with you because in my life in the last month and those that I'm close to here, we have found it essential to find a balance, to find a way to bring those things into your life that make you happy. And I know that it might not be easy, especially if you have losses, you know, and you're grieving and you maybe, you know, people who died or you're really concerned about elephants and other beings who are suffering. So I'm not trying to make light of that, but I invite you to grieve as much as you need to. Feel these feelings. Give the heart its due. Allow it time to feel whatever it needs to feel. And then remember to move into the higher vibration emotions like joy, like gratitude, like love, compassion, all these states that we all know. And also let's remember that it doesn't take the entire world to be in those states for the shift to happen. It only takes a small number of us. It only takes a critical mass, which people have done studies on this, and I'm not going to get into the science of it. We've done that before, but there are scientific studies that have been done, and it is the spiritual teachings of the enlightened masters through the ages. They all say the same thing, and that is it only takes a small number to create that shift. The reason is that those vibrations are so high that when we're living in those, we are exponentially more powerful than we are when we're in the lower emotions. It's not linear. It's exponential. So the more time that we can spend in joy, the more time we can spend in gratitude and love, the closer we're going to come as a collective to this critical mass that will help the planet move into a new paradigm of the heart. And it's happening already. You just have to scratch a little below the surface to see some of the examples of how it's happening. So I don't want to dwell on this because I mean, I've already talked a lot about it, but let's not take it any further today because we have talked about this in the past. I hope it's a helpful reminder. So let's see, I had a lot I wanted to talk about today and we're already running out of time, so forgive me. Let me just take a moment to focus right now. We could go many different directions and I just want to see what feels right. I have a note here to talk about the collective shadow. And I guess Leslie's worn out already just thinking about collective shadow. So collectively, we're all processing massive amounts of shadow, and it's historical shadow. It's the shadow that goes all the way back to long, long ago. And last month, we talked about the shadow of racism. I'm not sure how much I want to get into this. Actually, I was planning to talk about this, but somehow it's not feeling like the most important thing. We talked about, I think this is what I wanted to say, is that we talked about how all of us are processing in our sleep. And if you remember, if you listened to last month's call, what we were saying was that, you know, if you're feeling disrupted sleep, if you're having trouble with your body, especially in sleep, you don't feel rested when you wake up, it's probably because all of us are doing what we can at night to siphon off whatever shadow we can from the collective process. And as spiritual seekers, well, everybody does this. Everybody does it to the degree that they're able. But if you're on a committed spiritual path, you might be more conscious of what you're doing, and you might be doing more than others, if you've practiced it. So your soul evolution would determine that. But my guess is that if you're listening to this call, that you're part of that. So I felt like reiterating that because it feels to me like this is just being ramped up now. The collective shadow processing is ramping up, and we are, I guess, here's what I want to say, that it's a massive amount of shadow, and the reason for it is because there's a massive amount of light pouring in. So the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. The more the quantity of light, the more the quantity of shadow that's going to get flushed up for review and processing and clearing and purging. So I just wanted to name that. We didn't specifically talk about that last month, and I wanted to name it because it's going to be affecting all of us, both personally and collectively. So whether you're feeling it in your personal life or as a collective, I think it's just important to name it so we can all witness it, be aware that it's happening, and just be okay with it. You know, we're all in this together. So don't feel victimized and like you're the Lone Ranger here. We're all, if that's happening to you. If it's not happening to you, great. Enjoy it. Just enjoy your deep sleep. Maybe this is your time to really rest and get some good sleep. But I feel like we are we're at the beginning of a path, of a trajectory collectively, where over the years to come, there are going to be more things like this happening, more global events happening that are going to keep us deepening on this journey of awakening and moving into the new paradigm of the heart. So the pattern here is important to name, that as the light increases, the shadow is going to increase. And we're going to be given these events, these collective events, these global events that help us to deal with our historical shadow. And I don't really want to get into the details of all that. It would take too much time, but we'll be talking about it in times to come because we're going to be forced into dealing with it because it will be happening. It's what we need. It's what the planet needs to make the shift, and it's what we each need to make the shift into our own personal journey into love and into the heart. It's important to remember, and this is the last thing I'll say here about this, it's important to remember that as we are experiencing these, whatever you want to call them, let's call them eruptions, as we experience these mass eruptions, we need to find the gift in each one. The gift is always the opportunity to release all of the old, suppressed, buried emotions and all of the old ways of being that no longer serve, all the things of the old paradigm that really the hallmark of the old paradigm is it's been about the misuse or abuse of power. And so we're going to be faced from time to time with having to look at the different ways in which we have done that as a collective. And it's a great gift. I mean, it's painful as hell, but if you've been on a spiritual path for a while, you know how this works. You know, you process a level of your shadow, and wow, when you come out the other side, you have a new level of light. Leslie always used to say, you can only go as high as you're willing to go low. You know, if you're willing to dig out another basement, you're going to get a new story added onto your building. And the other way around, too. That if you're bringing in the light, you're going to be given the opportunity to dig out a new basement. And it just builds on itself. So I wanted to just mention some exercises that we can all be doing. I'm sure this is a reminder for many people, but the exercises we can all be doing to support these spiritual principles that I'm naming. The number one is witnessing, as we talked about. There's another one that I love, It's called the 60-second serenity practice, and it's a guided meditation that Leslie gave us. It only takes 60 seconds to do, and I'm not going to tell you about it right now because it's free on our website. It's a written piece about how to do it, and it's on our free resources page. If you haven't seen it, it's called the 60-second serenity practice, and if you haven't done it a while, if you remember it and have not done it, I invite you to go and check it out again. It's a brilliant thing for right now. Helps you to quickly and easily shift the energy in your body. In fact, any of Leslie's guided meditations, which are on our web store, just go, there's a page for audio, on the audio store, there's a page for guided meditations. Highly, highly recommended to be using those right now. As I mentioned before, playing the glad game. If you really want a good Leslie and I, when we play that game, we always laugh because it can be really silly. You can name all kinds of very silly things that you're glad about. And it makes you feel like a child again. So we like to do that. The other thing that I have found really important lately is singing. Singing and dancing and movement and exercise are all good, but especially singing. I find that there's something about the singing that really shifts the energy. And being in nature as well, I would say that's another really critical one for me right now. And I know we all have our methods, we all have our exercises, but I'm just here as a reminder. That's who I am today. I'm just Mr. Reminder to say, let's pull out all these tools, let's blow the dust off them. And if you haven't been doing them lately, now's the time. The last tool, the last practice or exercise I want to name here is about letting go of control. And that's a little bit of I want to give a little explanation about that one because it may not be something that we all tend to focus on. Last month, we talked about how this time is a time of enormous uncertainty. We talked about how everything that we've known, everything that we've ever relied on, everything that we have felt is stable in our world no longer seems to be that way. There's nothing that really feels assured anymore. And we talked about how disconcerting that is, and how the ego specifically, because it's synonymous with control, the ego resists that notion like crazy. The ego tries so hard to control, and that includes knowing, understanding. Those are forms of control. It's not that they're bad or wrong, but it is a form of control to have to know, to have to understand, to have to be able to see what's coming around the next corner. And so the practice that would be beneficial for all of us right now is just to practice letting go of that control. And if we find the what you could call the controller self or the doer working overtime to try to keep things the same, trying to maintain the status quo, that part of us tends to worry. We tend to be worrying about what might happen next. And the key is the witness. The key is witnessing that part of us which is resisting and fearing the changes that are coming, fearing the future. So we witness it and we consciously love that part of us. We allow it. We name it. We write about it. We talk about it. We just say, hey, you know, wow, my controller is really up today. I really am afraid of what's coming. I really need to know what's around the next corner, but I can't know. Nobody knows. I'm making stuff up in my head. So I really need to let that go. So when we have those kind of conversations or we journal that kind of stuff, it's a profound way of witnessing and letting go of control. And I just to be clear, it doesn't mean when we say letting go of control, it doesn't mean that we're not doing all the things we need to do to survive. You know, we need to continue to be responsible and to work and earn money and put food on the table for our family. And the key is to stop worrying, to stop obsessing about the future. And, you know, focusing all the time on how to fend off what might be a coming disaster. And to remember that disasters are not, they're not looming around every corner. We can let go of that part of us that is trying to be hyper vigilant about stopping problems that might arise. So we can relax and we can let go of the worry and the fear around it because it just doesn't serve. There's a word, I've talked about this before, I can't remember when, but there's a word called, well, this the word that summarizes this is called paranoia, right? Being paranoid. And there's another word that is its opposite, and it's a word most people don't know about, and it's called pronoia. Paranoia is the fear that everything is a disaster around the corner, everything's out to get us. Pronoia is the notion that everything in the universe conspires to support us. And even if it doesn't look good, even if it looks like a challenge, pronoia says that those are there to support us too. The challenges are there to support us as well. So it's a great opportunity right now to practice this trust, to practice trusting the support of the invisible realms, strengthening our faith, recognizing that there's a perfection to what's happening right now, that nothing's wrong, as I said, and we're exactly where we need to be. We're doing exactly what we need to do. And this is our opportunity to practice all of these spiritual practices that we know and reassuring the ego that it's not the end, that it's not the final curtain, it's not disaster and death. Yes, there's some of that, but it's really what we're talking about is change. What's happening is change. It's graduation time. It's time to let go of the old ways and to move into something new that's more in keeping with the new us. It's more aligned in the heart, actually. That's really what it's about, something that's more aligned in love. So it's best right now to just practice allowing the old things to fall apart that aren't working. If it seems chaotic and uncertain and full of unknowns, and that's our cue that we need to practice just being okay with that and realizing that it's time to practice letting go of the control that we thought we had and remember that it's all okay. And to remember that as souls, we planned all this. We planned this long ago. We knew that this time was going to be a significant challenge, but we also knew that we could get through it. And we knew that we could get to the other side of it and live in love. We could become more loving. We could become more surrendered. We could become happier. Leslie's like applauding in the corner. She's like, yes, yes, happiness. So it's our opportunity to become free, essentially. That's the bottom line here. What awaits us is our freedom on the other side of this process. Leslie's saying there's generosity that comes through. So, yeah, I agree. They can't hear you because I'm on my headset here. So I'm she's chiming in. So there's so much more I wanted to say, and I'm looking at the time. And what I'd really like to do right now is move forward and talk with Barbara, because Barbara and I had a conversation yesterday. We were on the phone and we were talking about the call today. And as we talked, we had a really enlightening conversation about what's going on, and specifically about the two narratives, or let's just say all the polarized narratives that are happening on the planet right now. Last month we talked about how for every situation there are polarized narratives, and they're pretty extreme. And we've got the mainstream media that spins a story one way, and then there are alternatives to that story that are completely the opposite, and it's impossible to know what's going on. And we practice using our discernment, and we practice not taking sides. The key, there were three key principles what we talked about last month, so I'll just name them right here, just to preface this conversation we're going to have with Barbara. The three key principles to remember and practice right now are, number one, hold the dynamic tension between the pairs of opposites, because it allows for a third option to arise. So that's number one. Number two is, the rule of thumb for the yogi is to be neither attracted nor repulsed. And number three, we need to practice neither believing nor disbelieving. So there's the three different ways of saying really the same thing, but it's what we're all being asked to do. And the truth is, it's the only way forward right now, because there's really actually no way to know exactly what's going on our planet. In this beautiful virtual reality called life on planet Earth, we are in the unknown, we are in the uncertainty, we're in fear and chaos. And we are working our way through it the best we can. So Barbara, rather than my go on, I invite you, would you like to share some things with us today?
Sure. Thank you, Brett. This has just been so wonderful and so enlightening. I'm hearing it's just what the doctor ordered.
No pun intended, though.
Exactly. And so, from our conversation, the message that I have been given is seek higher ground, which really dovetails beautifully with all that you have been speaking of. And, when we are not seeking higher ground, we fall into the pit of despair. And we cannot change from the place that we have created, whatever it is that we're challenged with. So we need to seek higher ground. And really, my understanding of that is to strengthen the witness. And as we're seeking higher ground and seeing that image of standing above and looking around, it helps us to strengthen the witness. And it feels to me like all of this, as you so beautifully and eloquently have stated, is the divine plan. And so that we're really needing to see, know, and understand that all of this has been meant to happen. And when we get into the desperation, fear, and worry, we're in victim consciousness. And we cannot clear victim consciousness from the same place that it was created. And so one of the ways that I'd love to offer here from all that you have shared, Brad, is that all of this that is happening is bringing many of us into the present moment. And this is how we are able to really strengthen and align with the witness. And as these fears and doubts come up into our conscious awareness, rather than identifying with them and falling into the pit of despair, from the witness, we can say hello to whatever part is showing up. So if we have this feeling of hopeless, helpless, don't know what to do, feelings of being lost. Lots of people have written about being lost and, how do I get back? And so this is a way of getting back by strengthening the witness and saying hello to the part that's lost or the part that's feeling helpless. And allowing that part to have a voice and just listening, not really trying to fix that part or avoid or deny that part. We're walking that fine line, that fine balance of listening without becoming identified or abandoning that part. So we want to ask that part, you know, what is it that it's feeling and what is it that it's wanting and not wanting, much like we do with a square. For those of you who are familiar with your greatest desires and worst fears, that's what we're asking of that part. So I just really wanted to share that as a way for us to seek higher ground. I think it's you know, really key, critical. And another piece that I'd like to offer, and boy, so much is coming through right now. My apologies. But to, you know, the breath. You know, I think a lot of times we forget about the breath. We get so caught up in our fears that we forget about breathing and just taking a few moments to deepen the breath and to ask for help. We have a tendency to, excuse me, to, you know, kind of sit in something, know that we're kind of stuck in it, and that's a time when we can really reach out and ask for help from each other. And you mentioned, you know, about all of this being a gift. And if we can just see it as that, there are times when I really stop and pause and say how grateful I am for the peace, the quiet, the stillness, the flower, the tree, whatever it is, to take that moment. And the piece that I really got from our conversation yesterday, Brad, was to really be open and receptive and listen. Really listen to each other. And the message I got today was that we're finding unity in diversity. And it's by listening to each other and not making each other right or wrong or good or bad, but really listening from the heart and not thinking about how you're going to respond to what they're saying so that you can prove that you're right and they're wrong. So this listening piece is so critical. And I think we talked a little bit yesterday about nonviolent communication, and I would really encourage people to look at Marshall Rosenberg's teachings on nonviolent communication. We're finding new ways of being together, of being with each other, and being with ourselves. We think that it's an outside job and that somebody from the outside is going to figure things out and make it all better for us, and the truth of the matter is it's an inside job, and that's where we seek wisdom, faith, unconditional love, compassion, caring. So I know there's lots more to say, and I know that you have more to share as well, Brad. So I think I'm going to put a bookmark in it right there and see if there's some others who might be wanting to share.
Well, yeah, we do have the questions. I think one of the things that I thought you and I could share with the group about our conversation, which was so inspiring to me,
yes,
was that I think we both saw, like we were talking about how divided the world is, how divided specifically, I mean, we were talking about America specifically, but
yes,
it's the world. We were talking about how divided it is. And you can't, like, there are topics that are just difficult to talk about. And one of the ones that embodies this is talking about whether to wear a mask or not.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we can't really talk about that. It's too divisive. And then, like, talking about anything to do with politics or the leaders of our country and like, oh, no, we can't talk about that. It's too divisive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were saying, well, how do you clear this stuff if you can't talk about it?
That's right.
How do you? You know, how do you do this? And I just had the feeling it would be good to talk about this with the group, because I bet you every single person who's listening has had this experience. You know, whether you're with your family or friends or at your hairdressers, you have to be very careful what you say, because people are full of opinions, and it's a very, very extremely divided situation right now, where you can't even talk about some very basic things, or you get lumped into a camp, and suddenly you're painted as in this camp, and it's all about the opposites. You know, you're judged for being in that camp, when you're not really. You're a person with individual thoughts about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, you and I were talking about that, and we felt, I think the one of the keys was, we felt like it was important to mention that it's very, very difficult to practice the three spiritual principles that Leslie has shared with us, that I named, about holding the tension between the opposites,
mm-hmm.
about neither believing nor disbelieving, about being neither attracted nor repulsed. Because if somebody is in one of those camps, or somebody throws out one of those opinions that for whatever reason you feel to be either ridiculous or hateful or
mm-hmm.
you know, foolish, whatever it is, suddenly everything inside you goes, you know, screaming, like, I can't say anything about it. I have to stuff my feelings of,
yes.
like, you're wrong. No, that's not true. But that's exactly what we're all going through. And so,
exactly.
So really, I just feel like it's important to name that it's a more difficult practice than it sounds like. It's much easier said than done. And yet, how important is it? You know, just from the conversation you and I had, Barbara, how important mm-hmm. is it to really see where we have, as advanced spiritual seekers with a lot of witnessing practice under our belts, where do we have trouble practicing those things? Where
mm-hmm.
do we judge? Where do we blame? And I think specifically, it's about judgment and blame.
Yes.
This is the spiritual principle behind it, the spiritual truth that we can all be aware of, is that if we're finding ourselves even a small amount in judgment or blame of another person, whether it's a world leader or judgment of the hairdresser with a different opinion or whatever, a parent or a sibling, friend, if we're in judgment or we're in blame, we're in victim tyrant consciousness. And that's exactly the thing that this is all about. If you take this entire mess that we're in, this whole process that the world's in, back to its most fundamental building block, it's that process, victim tyrant consciousness. So this is our practice right now for all of us, is witnessing and watching, where do we do that? Where do we have a little bit of judgment? Where do we have a little bit of blame? And then doing our practice around it, whether we process it or just witness it and let it go. But this is the path right now. Barbara, how would you comment on that? Would you say that that's kind of where we came to? Or
yes.
Even more.
Yes. Well, I just like to say just a tiny bit more in that, you know, along with that victim tyrant consciousness is attacking and defending.
Mm-hmm.
And being attacked and needing to defend. And
having to be right.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes. Getting into that right fighter. And we, you know, I was talking earlier about really listening, and we don't listen. We're so busy either attacking or defending that we really can't hear. We so have our own limiting belief system that we really can't hear. And, you know, the good news about this is that it's a way back to each other. Because We're looking for that higher state of consciousness where we can all come together. And the truth of the matter is that we're all wanting the same or similar things. We have different points of view and different directions to come to it from. But ultimately, the ground that we can, you know, meet on is that we really want the same things. So I see this as a tremendous gift and opportunity, and those parts of us that feel attacked, that feel needing to defend, or that feel the need to attack and make others wrong, needs to be expressed and needs to be acknowledged and needs to be heard from. Yeah. Why does that part need to defend? Why does that part need to attack? And one of the things I think that as we were talking, and we were talking about the outside needing to look at, you know, how the outside is playing out inside each and every one of us. And I asked you during the call yesterday, where is the clear divide within me? And I think that's what's wanting to be seen and expressed.
Yeah.
Because the outside is mirroring what's happening for us on the inner.
Yeah.
And that's a part of the blame piece. You know, it's much easier to point the finger of blame outside myself than to continue to dig deeper. And the only way that we're going to clear and reach higher states of consciousness is to be willing to dig even deeper into those parts of us that are uncomfortable. And, you know, we talk about loving all those parts, unconditionally loving all those parts, and there are parts that are very challenging to be accepted. And can we be okay with that as well?
Yep.
We can't just say, you know, oh, I love all those parts of me. No, there's some parts that, you know, are pretty gnarly, nasty. And they need to be heard as well. Doesn't mean that we accept it, but it does mean that we need, everything is welcome here, yeah? All is welcome.
That's it.
So, yeah, I know that it's an excruciatingly painful way to get here, but we're getting here.
We're getting there. And, and as long as we're not accepting of those parts of us, we're judging and blaming ourselves, like as long as we're judging and blaming and not accepting ourselves, or as long as we're judging and blaming others and not accepting others, the effect of that is it's going to keep us out of the heart.
Yes.
It's going to prevent us from moving into this new paradigm of love. So, this is the practice. So Barbara, let's wrap this part of the conversation up by saying, how about if we let's invite everybody, all of us, I include myself, for the next month until the next call, every day, let's practice monitoring our thoughts and feelings and behaviors and looking at where are we in judgment and blame, even a little bit. Where are we in judgment and blame of others? Whether it's a person in the news, you know, a world leader of some kind, or somebody in our personal world or reality, friend, parent, family member, whatever. Where are we doing this with them? Or where are we doing it to ourselves? Where are we judging, blaming, not accepting parts of ourselves? So we monitor that, and we keep a journal record of it, and we say, all right, let's daily we have a little journal going of where we're holding on to this stuff. And this will be our contribution of moving into the new paradigm of the heart, is simply by naming these things for the next month. How about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let me, before we open to questions, this segues right into an announcement I'd like to make, and that is, I said this last month as well, I'm going to be leading a course, a virtual course, called The New Paradigm of the Heart, Transcending Victim-Tyrant Consciousness, and it's going to be 6 Sundays starting September 27th and going through November 1st. It'll be starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and we'll be sending out It's on our, there's a little hold the dates thing on our events page about it, and we will be sending out the brochure fairly soon, so you'll get all the details. But hold the dates. If this topic interests you, we're going to be taking this topic further into the clearing process. We're really going to dive in over the 6 weeks of clearing this particular thing and looking at those archetypes that are associated with victim tyrant consciousness and clearing them and moving much more into the permanently opened heart. So I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to dive in. So I'm busy planning it right now. So I invite you. I hope you'll join us. Okay. So do you have anything else to say, Barbara, or should we move on to the questions?
I think we're ready to move on to the questions. And I would like to just say that the victim tyrant piece that you're going to be teaching in the fall, you know, is the underpinning of all our blueprint. And when we can really pull those victim consciousness threads, it will clear so much for us to move into these ascended states of consciousness. So I just want to acknowledge the exquisite timing of this.
Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, it was very guided. You know, I can feel the guides, the benevolent beings who guide our planet really want all of us working on this stuff right now. This is the key. It's holding the collective back. It's holding each of us personally back. So we really, we change our world when we do this work, and we change the earth. We take that step into the new paradigm of the heart by doing this work.
Beautiful, Brad. Thank you.
Yeah. So before you start with the questions, I just want to thank everybody. We had a lot of questions come in this month, and so I thank you. And I tried, we're not going to read them all. We won't have time, but many of them we tried to wrap into our discussion already today. So I hope that I addressed enough of those for you. Feel free to write again if there was something that was missed. But Barbara, would you like to tell people how they can post on the board or how that works?
If you want to write something in today, you have to go onto the web, onto the internet. And then once you go connect with the internet, then you can write a question in and we can go back. I can look at it and read it. So if you're on the phone, you'll need to make a web connection. There's an option on the email, to get to the web.
Thank you. And let's just add a question or sharing. If you have something, a report you want to share, we'd love to hear that too.
Yeah. Okay. So we have some of each already, Brad. So I'm going to read the written question that we have. And this is from Diana. And she asks, what is it that you experience when your cave of Brahman is open? I have yet to have been able to do so. A multitude of gratefulness for Leslie's teachings and for having been radiated by her light so many times over the years. So what is it that you experience when your cave of Brahman is open?
You know what, Barbara? I'm realizing I would like to do this question last because I'd love to take everybody into a guided meditation where we all go into the cave of Brahman. I'm just realizing that right now. You told me about this question before. And what I would say, just as a quick answer, if you don't know about the cave of Brahman, if you're new to Core Light, it is a very magical place right in the center of the head that connects us to the cosmos, to the higher self, to the all that is, and it helps us to stop thought. So that's its function, and maybe we can all go into there together, and I can name what it feels like.
Good, Brad.
You do that
and
again?
This other, right. Yeah, this other, the second question you may be able to do with the meditation as well, because it's also about meditation. She, Danielle, says, when I meditate, I find myself flying forward very, very fast, or falling backwards? What's happening? And should I control the direction? Love and blessings, Danielle.
Okay, so let me just tune in on Danielle. And so what I would say, Danielle, is that there's a noise, sorry. What I would say is that maybe it's time for you to focus on the Shoshumna in meditation. I don't know if you've tried that yet or not, but if you're flying forwards or falling backwards, you could try focusing on the central core and focus on the stabilizing of yourself in that core. And in the meditation today, if you're on this call and you were part of that meditation, maybe you felt that stabilizing force through focusing on your Shoshumna, on your central meridian. There's really nothing wrong with flying forward or falling back, I suppose. But really, with what you're experiencing, my sense is that maybe you're being asked to do a centering and balancing meditation. There are many ways to do it, but you could start with this one of doing one on the Shoshumna. I would also recommend Leslie's guided meditation called Becoming Oneness. I find that one to be especially powerful, especially grounding and centering and uplifting. So if you want a really great guided meditation on it, try that one. And I know that the Shoshumna is a part of that one as well, the central core. So I hope that helps.
Yes, and it feels like ungrounded. So I totally agree with you, Brad, that there needs to be a dropping of the grounding cord and then the cord that goes into the heart of the universe. Leslie talks about it as being the acupuncture needle. And so we have that connection, heaven and earth, and we are the acupuncture needle that it moves through, and that might help as well.
Yeah, if you had a positive experience with the meditation, the guided meditation today, then maybe practice that for a while and see if it helps you to bring that groundedness and the centering into your other meditations.
Yeah. Okay, and then here's another question, and it says, some practitioners and myself are feeling some, quote, dark energy push back in sessions recently. We're not sure if it's ET interference or the deep cracks of fear that are being released. We're not scared. It's just a theme we've been seeing in sessions with our clients. If you're aware of what's going on, please let us know. Namaste and thank you, Megan.
Wow. Well, that's a great one. First of all, I'm not surprised. It sounds like you're an energy worker and a healer. And so I'm not surprised to hear you saying this because you're tapping into what we were talking about today in terms of the collective fear. Certainly, I'm sure that that's part of what you're feeling, you know, is the fear that's opening up in each of us to be released. And the fear, you know, we all tap into the collective at that level as well. So no doubt you're definitely on track there, that there are deep cracks of fear that are being released. And it's great that that's coming up and out. So maybe reframe that as instead of pushback, maybe it's coming home for release and surrender and letting go now, that it's leaving. So maybe reframe it and look at it that way and see how that goes. As for the ET interference, who knows? I couldn't say, but it very easily could be that. But really, you know, the truth of this virtual reality that we live in, physical universe, is that at another level of our being, all is one and everything is one and the same. That if there are negative ETs, quote unquote, who are doing some kind of dark energy pushback, at some level of our being, they are enlightened souls just as we are, and they're playing a role, playing the tyrant role perhaps, or the perpetrator, aggressor role, whatever you want to call it, and that can then be processed as that, you know, as part of the game of the virtual reality, as part of this phase that we're all moving through. We're moving beyond those abuse of power games and into this new paradigm of the heart. So if it's reframed and looked at that way, then it really doesn't matter what it is, right? I mean, if it's an ET, a negative ET, doing dark energy pushback, or if it's just the collective fear passing through, whatever it is, it's the same effect. It doesn't, let's say, it doesn't change your role. Your role is to be in your witness, feel it, transmute it, let it go, and create the healing. So whatever the cause of it is doesn't really matter as much as that part. So I hope that helps. It's a great question, and I really wish you luck. God bless you for doing that work. I know when you encounter, it's easier said than done. You know, talking about it is one thing, but being there when that's happening, it's easy to go into fear. When you're encountering that fear energy, it's contagious, and it really can bring you down. So one does have to have a very strong witness when you're doing that work and you're encountering fear. So that's for all of us. It's not just for you. It's for everybody who's participating in the call today, you know, to be aware that this isn't a child's play. This isn't child's play. This is serious, serious work for serious spiritual seekers. You know, we're facing these new levels of fear that we've never faced before. So God bless us all for taking this on, right? But we, as I said before, you know, we know we can get through this. We know we can do it. We planned it.
Yes.
We're in the perfect place, perfect time. So, Barbara, what would you like to say about it?
Well, you know, I can just so feel our collective energy and the support that we're holding for and with each other. And what I'd like to suggest is that people read the animal medicine card for the deer. And just briefly, the deer is the story of how many try to climb the mountain to reach the guru at the top for enlightenment. And halfway up, there's an ogre that comes running out and scares people, and they run back down the mountain. So they're not able to make it all the way up to the top of the mountain. And when the deer goes up the mountain and the ogre comes running out to scare the deer back down the mountain, the deer stops and looks at the ogre with these big, beautiful, loving, unconditionally loving brown eyes and just offers love. And the ogre is so deeply moved that it lets the deer pass and go up the mountain, and no one has ever loved the ogre. So these are the dark energies that no one has loved. So that would be my suggestion as a practice.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. That's beautiful. I love that visualization.
Yeah. Okay, and so we've got a couple of comments on the board here. So people are saying, so beautiful today, sacred neutrality and surrender transmutes to freedom and peace. I embrace everything with love. That's from Lynn. It's really beautiful, Lynn. And Lynn also says, if we could try to stop ourselves from, quote, saying a word to convince, just be still. And I would add there, Lynn, that's wonderful, and I would add there, and keep our hearts open. It's a great practice, not always easily attained. Thank you for your positivity and vulnerability. Much needed. The balance is key. And then, let's see if there's anything else here. Okay. I think that's the gist of things from everybody. Let's see. Lisa says, I found useful in this tremendous uncertainty to go to the truth in our light and in our hearts and trust it. This disease is more a toxin, more a parasite that dissolves in truth. In the divinity that lives inside us, it dissolves into light. We need to stay in truth, intuition, and gratitude no matter what seems to happen. And personally processing the Core Light Way helps immensely. as well as Kundalini yoga and the singing the sounds of heaven. And Lisa says, my country is under heavy lockdown now for 4 months, and the controls are terrible, as well as the economical compass in a very poor country. Lisa's from Guatemala, by the way. However, I stay surrendered to truth and do whatever it takes to stay in hope and grace and gratitude. Thank you, Leslie, for the enormous gifts to our lives in these crucial moments. Much immense love, Lisa.
Oh, beautiful, Lisa. Thank you so much. Bless you and bless Guatemala.
Yes, and one other person suggested, Carol Bradley suggested looking at from Power versus Force, which I know you've talked about many, many times, but there's a chart on the scale of consciousness. And as long as we're in anger or fear, we're below 200. Courage is the 200 mark. And then it moves into neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and then ultimately enlightenment. So I think that's a good reminder for all of us as well.
Yeah, if you have not read the book yet, Power versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins, it's highly, highly, mm-hmm. highly recommended. He's an enlightened doctor and scientist. He's no longer with us. He passed, but his book, he's written several books. That book in particular was profound for me and for many I know, because through his methods, he measured the power of a thought form, and he was able to develop this scale, which is when you learn about this scale of the power of thoughts and how our thoughts increase exponentially as they become higher in vibration. All the way up to enlightenment, that you realize it only takes one avatar to balance out, 7.5 billion people who are thinking negatively. And it might only take 100 of us who are, partially awake to balance out 7.5 billion people. So who knows what your awakening might do to the planet. One little step in your awakening could have an exponential effect that creates the tipping point. That's what I took away from that book.
Yes. Beautiful, Brad. And yes, and to take responsibility for what we put into the collective.
Yep. That's it.
I think that brings us into consciousness. Go ahead, Brad.
No, I'm done.
Okay. So I know that you're going to want to finish up with a guided meditation, and we have one hand raised, Brad. And so perhaps you can keep your question as brief as possible so we can wrap up. How's that sound, Brad?
Yeah, sure. Let's take the hand, and what I would invite anybody who's raising your hand, if you could please say what you need to say, but also be as concise as possible. That's awesome. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So here we go. Melody, you have the mic.
Hi, I will make it brief. I just wanted to remind, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thanks, Melody.
Yep.
Great. Thanks, both of you. It's been a wonderful time, and I just wanted to remind everybody, if you're not on our Core Light prayer list, these are challenging times for everybody, and would encourage people to take advantage of that resource. If you or any family member or friend are in need of prayer, we have a prayer list, and pray for people in all kinds of circumstances, so would offer that up. And I'm the staff person for that, and my email address is durgamaw07@gmail.com. And if you didn't get that, you could just email the Core Light office, and they'll forward it on to me. Thank you.
Great, Melody.
Thank you so much, Melody, and thank you for your volunteer service of staffing the prayer circle. It's very, very, very special, and we're grateful.
Great.
Yeah, so you can, if you didn't get her email address, you can send your email to info@corelight.org.
Okay, Brad.
All right, so let's complete. We have 10 minutes. That's wonderful. So we can complete with a guided meditation and a prayer. And so we'll focus on the cave of Brahman in this. I invite you now, if you're multitasking, this would be a great time to pause for 10 minutes and just give yourself this gift of this very special time that we share to relax and let go. So I invite you to get quiet, sit or lie down, close your eyes, take a few long, deep breaths. And I know we've stirred up the energy quite a bit with all of our talking. And so especially invite you to breathe long, slow, and deep. Allow yourself to relax. The deep breathing stimulates the vagus nerve that runs down the center of the body along the spine. And that helps us to completely relax the body through the central nervous system. Long, slow, deep breathing. Feel all the muscles in your body relaxing from head to toe. And just do a scan of your body again and see if there's any place that you might be holding on to tension. Breathe light into that area. Breathe out the tension and the stress. Completely surrendering, letting go. Going back into that place where we were at the beginning of the call, deeply, deeply relaxed. Feeling deep peace inside. And when you're there, when you're in that very deep place of relaxation and quiet, I invite you, put your attention in the cave of Brahman, which is right in the center of your head. If you were to draw an invisible line back into your head from your third eye, which is between the eyebrows and slightly above, you draw that invisible line back into your head, and then you draw an invisible line connecting your ears. And where those two invisible lines intersect, that's the cave of Brahman in the center of your head. It's the place where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. So just take a few moments to find that place. And if you're new to this, or if you, for whatever reason, are not able to feel it, that's okay. You set the intention that this is what you'd like, and one day it will happen. You will find it and feel it. And let's just take a few moments for more of us to get into that place. Right in the center of the head. And when you find that place, what you feel, first of all, is a stopping of thought. You feel a deep silence inside. It's hard to put words to this, so please bear with me. I'm going to try my best to describe it in words, but it's more of an experience, more of a feeling. So when you find it, you find that thought stops. And it's hard to talk when you're there. There's an expansion. It's as though a gateway opens, like a portal that feels very expansive. It's as though your head is much bigger than it actually is physically. You feel your head, you might only feel some of these things, But one of the things you might feel is an expanded sense of your head. Maybe what your head feels like a pumpkin. In the best sense of the word, the highest sense. Beautiful, expansive, luminous feeling. Also, I would say the other thing that you might feel is the crown chakra naturally opens when you're in the cave of Brahman. You might feel like you have a hat on your head. It might feel like a sombrero on your head, energetically. You might feel a deeper sense of relaxation in your physical body. You might feel a letting go happening throughout your body. You might feel a sense of activation of the crown, the third eye, and the entire aura around your skull. As though you exist beyond your skin, you might feel as though you're larger than your encapsulated body in the skin. You might feel a connection with the cosmos. I say cosmos, like you might get a glimpse, an image of a galaxy or star systems, that you are part of vast interstellar space. You might feel so expanded in your body that you feel you have, it's like you might be aware of the space between the molecules of your body. You might feel the sense that you are mostly space, that you are actually very, very small percentage of you is physical matter. You might feel a sense of dissolution and expansion. So if you're not feeling these things, I invite you to feel them now. Just get the sense of what you're made of. Get the sense that your body is mostly space. And if you feel so relaxed, so expanded by opening the cave of Brahman, that you're aware of this. It's as though you can feel a breeze pass right through you. Allow that. Just allow the breeze to pass right through you. If you're physically just hardly there at all, just relax and surrender so deeply. That you feel like there's interstellar space inside you. Maybe like your atoms are the stars that you see in the night sky. Billions of little stars inside you. And that's more the truth of who you are than you know. So I invite you to stay with this, feel this connection through the cave of Brahman. And I'm just going to close now because we're out of time for the day. But while you're in this state, we call on the guides, teachers, angels, beings who have surrounded us during this time today And we thank you. We bow to you in gratitude. And again, we place in our circle today this beautiful circle of love that we've created, this beautiful cocoon of healing, love, and light that we're all part of right now. We place the elephants of the world, place the white lions. We place all of the people, animals, nature, earth that are experiencing challenge, hardship, suffering. We place those beings right in the center of our circle and we send them love. And we ask for grace and healing to support them and to support us all, to support our Mother Earth and all of humanity and all sentient life through these changes, through this graduation time, and all the challenges that that brings. Help us to remember who we truly are, which is love, which is the pure awareness, the pure light, vast consciousness, eternality that we truly are. And help us to remember that that's who we are, having a human experience for a short time. And we pray that we may go out into the world today and share this love and share this light and this wisdom with everyone we meet. We're so deeply grateful for the time we share and these beautiful, beautiful bodies that we get to wear in this virtual reality called Earth for a few short years. Such a beautiful planet. Bless us, bless the planet as we graduate into a new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness. Deep, deep, deep gratitude. Alalaho. So we close for today, and I invite you, if you want to stay in meditation, Leslie and I will stay in meditation for a few more minutes, even after we hang up the phone. And if you need to go, I send you all my love. Leslie's sending her love. And we look forward to seeing you next month. Namaste. Bye for now.